Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Callum Stoneman. Tech Talk is our chance to get together each week and explore what's going on in the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. As we always say, it's your show, so if you want to get in touch with us, please do. We'd love to hear from you. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. This week, we're hearing about a wearable tactile calendar, the most recent updates to the Leesy accessibility tool with JAWS, plus more on that Meta AI look and tell feature. Joining me this week is Hubert Pavalkovich. How are you doing, mate? Bit of a quiet one this week.
Yeah, just the two of us. You're not a very small crowd, but let me tell you, I don't know, you're a JAWS user. Have you experienced this? So I've recently been having a bug with, particularly Google Chrome, because that's the main browser I use. And most recent little update to Chrome has caused problems with JAWS, where if you're trying to copy text from Google Chrome into, in my case, for example, another Word document, it doesn't actually do it. But the good thing is there's been a swift JAWS update that thankfully fixes this issue, because I've been wondering what has been causing this problem for me for the last few weeks. But yes, that is a little bug that has now been fixed. So if you have found you've got this issue, it also affects Microsoft Edge web browser.
I was just going to say, yeah, I've had this in Edge.
Yeah, do be sure to install the latest update, because it does fix it, which is good, because it answers a mystery that I've had the last few weeks.
Yeah, do you know what? I thought this was me, to be honest, because I've got, I do use JAWS, and obviously I've got Leesy running as well, which we're going to hear a bit more about later on, but that does provide some alternative ways to like select text, you know, and highlight text. And at first I thought it was that wasn't working. So I thought, because I use that method rather than like the shift and, you know, arrow keys. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe it's that, maybe there's a bug there. And it was one of them things where I thought, I need to drop them a message. Never really got around to it. And then I tried the shift and arrow keys, and that still didn't work for selecting and copying and stuff. And I just thought it was either an issue with me, something that I was doing wrong, or something that was actually caused by Leesy, but it turns out it wasn't. I saw the release notes of that update, and apparently a few people have been having that problem. So I did see the update, but I haven't installed it yet. So that's fixed now, is it?
Yes, thankfully it is. I saw that, so I need to contact our work admins to kind of go, can you please install the update, because I can't copy text. I'm very grateful that A, it's solved, and B, a mystery solved, and I found out it's not actually me for a change.
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of a niche one this week that I'm really enjoying. One for the parents out there. So we use an app for James, our son, who's 9 months old. We use an app called Huckleberry, and it's an app where, among other things, it's one of these apps where you can track various things about your baby or your child as they're growing up. But one of the things that it does is you can track your baby's sleep. So you can put in their sleep overnight and the times that they've napped during the day, and using a combination of like your baby's age and their usual behavior and, I guess, like health recommendations, it will try and give you a guideline of when it thinks his next nap might be. Now, obviously, it's a guideline. You use your own parenting instincts and your common sense, obviously. But if you're trying to plan your day and you log that he woke up at 7 o'clock and then he napped between 10:30 and 12 o'clock, and then it might come up and go, okay, we think his next nap is going to be at, you know, between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Then it just gives you that sense of, you know, okay, well, we can go out at this time, and, you know, we might ideally need to be back by this time, kind of thing. But anyway, this app is like, it's one of those where it's accessible, but it's a little bit clunky, especially adding the sleep, because you've got to go in, find the sleep section, which can be tricky because it moves around a bit, and then select the start time, and explore by touch doesn't work. So you've got to flick through each number to select the hour and then the minute. And then there's a separate thing for AM and PM, so you've got to change that. and it's doable, but it's a bit fiddly. They've added a chat section a couple of days ago, so now you can just type into it or speak to it if you want to, just using natural language. So I tried it out the other day. I saw the update. I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. So nursery, when we picked him up a couple of days ago, told us what time he'd napped, and I just typed into this little box, log a nap between this time and this time. 2 seconds later, it came back and said, okay, done. So I'm sure enough, I looked in the reports section, and there it was, just as if I'd done it myself. That's the sort of AI that I want.
Absolutely, it's fantastic because you can sometimes you don't want to go through the whole process of tap this, tap that, enter this, da 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 da. It's frustrating. If you can just kind of go, yes, can you do this, 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 and this? Boom, done, simple, sorted.
And honestly, I've been using it like that ever since. And we only use it for his sleep nowadays. When he was first born, it was brilliant because we could track everything. You could put in, their bottles and their feeds and how much they've had, and nappies and all those kind of things. You can track everything if you want to. But we just use it nowadays for the nap times. But if we'd have had this when he was first born, that would have been fantastic, Log a bottle at this time and he had this much. Just type it in and then there you go, it's all logged.
Can you get information using the chatbot?
I haven't tried that, Apparently you can, but I've not tried it. So far, I've only been using it to just quickly put things in. But I think you can. I think you can ask it, about previous information. So if I wanted to say, like, how much sleep did he have yesterday? I think you can ask things like that. I need to try it. But yeah, I think you can.
There's a few apps that are introducing this. We recently had the update from Travel Hands a few weeks ago when I went to SafeCon 25, and they are introducing a chatbot over the next 6 to 8 months, is what they said they hope to achieve this by. And again, it works in a similar fashion where you can chat with that bot and be able to say what you want, and it will ask you for more information and such. And I think it has an old-fashioned feel because you're not actually doing it yourself, but you're asking a chatbot to do it. But obviously, that chatbot gives you the kind of modern feel too, so you get a bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, with this, you can just be really natural, with the language that you use. It's not like a kind of command line, where you've got different kind of a syntax that you've got to follow and different kind of, punctuation that you've got to put in that means different things and stuff. You can literally just like you ch speak to ChatGPT, really, just plain English.
It's what I like about it because you don't have to think, oh, how do I have to say this? What do I have to say to get this to happen? You can just be natural. So all you have to think about is actually the main request that you want.
Yeah, but this is the sort of thing that I want from AI. Like, I'm obviously I've played around with all the things about getting it to tell jokes and create songs and all that kind of stuff. But really, I just want if it can take a process that takes like 2 minutes and change it to 10 seconds, I'm all in on that.
Absolutely, and I'm hoping more apps will introduce that because I love that combined with, being able to voice it and quickly say what you want hands-free. Partly we talk about the Meta glasses a lot, but I just like the ability. I was walking to the station a few days ago, and I got a call for my. I think I got my family member to pick up some medication, and there was a bit of an issue, so they called me. I just picked up the call hands-free, sorted out the issue, hung up. And it's just the ability to do things so much quicker and it just smoothly and seamlessly.
Yeah, and I must admit, I've started using the Meta glasses out and about now instead of my AirPods, partly for that reason, because if you get a call when you're out and about on the Meta glasses, the call quality from both sides is really, really good. But what I found with the AirPods, and this isn't new, it's always been the case, but if I answer a call when I'm out and about on the AirPods, and if I'm near a main road or if I'm at a bus stop or something, I can hear the other person fine, but them hearing me, no chance.
Microphones aren't great. Spoiler.
Yeah, the microphones on those are pretty terrible, which is a shame, really, because they sound brilliant. So, have you found any uses for AI recently? Has it been integrated into any apps that you use? Hopefully, that JAWS update has helped you out as well. If you're a JAWS user and you've been having that issue with the web browser selecting and copying text, let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
Time now on Tech Talk to, well, talk about look and tell. Yes, these few words are quite familiar to Tech Talk listeners and, well, tech enthusiasts too, especially when mentioning the Meta Ray-Bans. Yes, this feature, for a while available in America, has now come to the UK, as you've heard. And it's been a bit of a staggered approach. Some people have it, some people do not. Some people have installed the update and have the feature straight away. Some people install the update and are still waiting. Well, I have this feature now on my set of glasses, so what I thought we'll do today is take it for a little bit of a spin and give you a little bit of an idea of how it works and sort of what you realistically have to do in order to get the information you want. So first things first, I'm going to take my glasses out of their case. So what I'm now going to do is take a picture of the glasses and see what the glasses are able to spot. And we'll bring the microphone closer to the glasses so you can actually hear what responses I get. Hey Meta, look and tell me what you see.
I see a dog lying on the floor, possibly sleeping. There is a wall with some outlets and a backpack in the background.
Give me more details.
The dog appears to be a light brown or golden colour, and it is lying on its side with its legs stretched out. The dog's eyes are closed, suggesting that it is sleeping or resting. There is a toy, possibly a rubber bone, lying next to the dog. In the background, there is a wall with several electrical outlets.
Is the dog wearing a collar?
Yes. The dog appears to be wearing a pink collar.
Are you sure that's the right colour?
The dog's collar appears to be purple, not pink.
Are you sure that's the right colour?
The dog's collar appears to be a darker colour, possibly black or dark purple, but it's difficult to determine the exact colour from the image.
So as you've been hearing there, I've been asking a lot of questions, to get as much detail as possible. You won't get details straight away, as you certainly will not get all of it straight away. The main thing I think here to take out of this is to query the image as much as you can, and eventually I think you will get most of the information that you want. Now, as you've noticed, I did question the AI quite heavily as to the colour of Caesar's collar, who's my guide dog, mainly because the AI got it wrong. However, as I often notice with colour identification, it's not always easy to get the colours right because the colours often depend on lighting conditions. So a red collar could be pink, could be purple, depending on the lighting. These things can always be incorrect, but, you know, these things happen. It got some other things correct. It identifies Caesar's dog toys correctly. Now, we've done images, which is fantastic, and it works pretty well. What I want to see is what it can do with text. For this, I've picked up here the leaflet for RNIB's helpline. So what I'm going to do is take a picture and start asking questions. Hey Meta, look and read what this says.
We're here for you when you need us. It appears to be a promotional material from the RNIB Sight Loss Advice Service, encouraging people to reach out for support when dealing with sight loss.
Are there any contact details listed?
The contact details listed are E, can help with that.
Is there a phone number listed?
The phone number listed is 0303 123 9999.
Thank you. A similar situation here. I'd taken a picture of the leaflet. I had to retake the picture because the first time I've done it, it kind of found the middle of a whole bunch of text and read that, which, because I knew what the leaflet is, I knew what it was, but isn't always very clear. So I've taken the picture again, and it was much better, but it was a mixture of some of the text from the leaflet being read out and a lot of it being summarized, which is where you need to be careful, because it will summarize it for you. And if you want further details, you can either ask for more details, or if you want specific details based on what you heard in the summary, you can also ask for these, as I've done there with the phone number, which at first it didn't understand. But eventually, when I actually just went, yeah, I'm not going to ask for contact details, I'm just going to ask for a phone number because I know there's a phone number there. And lo and behold, it did find the phone number and read it. So I think main thing to take out of this as well, as with the image descriptions, is you need to be clear as to what you want to know and what sort of details would you like based on the rough information you get from the kind of initial description. So if you, for example, are told you're looking at a restaurant menu, you know you're looking at a restaurant menu, so you can then try and see if it spotted some specific options or specific types of options. So it's all about clarity of questions, really, when it comes to this particular feature. And I guess on one hand, that's a fair point. You know, if there's specific information, it's better to ask for that rather than being given everything when you actually may not need everything there. But as long as you can ask for specific information and it can give it to you, then I guess the feature is very much being helpful. So that is a brief look at Meta's Look and Tell AI features now in the UK. This feature will probably improve considerably over time, I'm sure. But if you have a different experience, or a better experience, in fact, then drop us an email, because we would love to hear it. If you've got any specific commands that you use that maybe make things easier for you, do let us know as well, because we can then try them out ourselves. So yes, let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
Ramadan is traditionally observed through visual cues like moon sightings and printed prayer timetables, which can present various barriers for visually impaired Muslims. VML in Amman have created the Blind Faith Calendar, a wearable tactile wrist calendar for blind and partially sighted people observing Ramadan. We're joined today by Basil Jumar, the Executive Creative Director at VML, and Josh Loebner, Global Head of Inclusive Design, to learn more. Thank you so much both for joining us. What are some of the main barriers faced by blind and partially sighted people observing Ramadan?
It's the spiritual experience of spotting the sun and moon. It's part of the traditions of Ramadan to start the month and end it based on the sight of the moon. But other than that, we actually learned a lot about some barriers. For example, gatherings. They always have gatherings in Ramadan and families come together. And this evokes sensory overload. One more thing they repeated in the conversation was the toll of being reliant on people, especially in Ramadan, because it's all about a lot of activities, a lot of things to do during the day with the family, individually, practicing faith, going to the mosque, for example, and all that. It really pushed the reliance to its limit.
It's interesting to consider that many times people with disabilities are forgotten about when it comes to everyday interactions, and sometimes those moments that are celebratory. And for Basil and his team to bring this idea to light, to show that our times where hopefully everyone can be just as welcomed as anyone else, whether they are blind or partially sighted or not, this idea helps to welcome everyone literally and figuratively into celebrating and being a part of culture, which is truly important.
And how did the concept of the wearable calendar, rather than just having a more kind of basic tactile calendar, begin?
Actually, it started with the Ramadan calendar, the traditional one called Imsakiya. It's really a 30-day, it's a traditional calendar, like a wall calendar or desk calendar for 30 days. And this was really the inspiration, the problem and the solution with the Imsakiya, because it's a timetable, it has a lot of details placed in the home. It was hard for even the families to keep track of it, you know, so we wanted the solution to be personal first. This is the first thing. We wanted to be personal and independent. And when we looked at it, and it's all about time, Ramadan is all about time. So the idea and the inspiration started from the challenge of the traditional one, the timetable, Imsakiya, and a lot, 30 days on one sheet is a lot. And thinking of the individual personal experience and the time, we thought of the watch, the simplicity of the hand watch you wear. It's personal, it's easy. And since Ramadan is about time, very specific times, we have the sunset and sunrise. Those are the most two important times in the day for fasting time and breaking fast time. So it's actually a functional watch in the hand, plus has all the moon phases to indicate the days, because it changes every day. So that's really how it all started.
Yeah, it sounds like a really thoughtful design. Can you talk us through some of the main development stages in the project?
For sure. It started actually first and foremost with the bank. We started with them to work on this topic, this inclusivity aspect. And when we looked at the blind people, we wanted to learn more before starting to do anything. And when we started to conduct interviews and listen, this is the most important part of it, was listening to them, to the things that we don't understand how important, maybe spiritually or emotionally or culturally to them. So it's really started with a lot of interviews. Then, when we learned about the significance of this simple yet cultural experience, it really triggered us that a lot of people don't know what the moon looked like or understand the changing phases of the moon. So we started with that. We started with a prototype at the beginning to understand the design of it, because it doesn't work like the regular braille. It has shapes in it, so we need to work on printing. And once we have the prototype, we went into testing and a lot of refinements after that. When we went out for testing, we had to go back, look for materials, the sizes, the choice of material to be strong enough to actually have the embossed shapes tangible and also to be flexible for everyone to wear it easily. And at the end, we added an instruction sheet for every calendar set on the usage and how to use it, how to follow the steps, how to navigate through it. So it was a long process, but really fulfilling.
I'm sure everyone listening has heard the phrase with, not for. And in this project and so many others, whether accomplished by VML or any other organization that's out there, to be able to move arm in arm down a pathway of progress is really what's needed and wanted by blind, low vision, and others. We want to be a part of the conversation. We want to be a part of the collaboration. So co-creation is critical to be able to prototype, iterate, test, and get feedback to know what's working, what's not working, what are those individual wants, needs, and desires that we can take not only from marginalized groups who are part of the blind communities, but also those people who are part of the creative teams who are continuing to iterate, that there's learning on both sides, right? Which is truly wonderful, so that we can be able to grow in our knowledge collectively and to be able to welcome everybody into a project in a way that we're all striving towards a greater good.
And what kind of feedback have you got from people that have been able to use this calendar after it's launched?
The feedback was honestly heartwarming. The first one was with people who were born without sight, born blind. It was amazing to feel and see the reaction of them really going through the moon phases and learning about it through touching. And the other part, which was for those who either partially sighted or lost their sight at a later stage of their life, for Muslims in Ramadan, it was just a beautiful reminder and clarification of the shapes that is there in the sky.
And you have already expanded upon the original design once, but do you see any future steps to continue this project?
Actually, this year, because that was done last Ramadan, this Ramadan, we took also in partnership with the centers and with the community to learn more. This year, we took it to a different step, and we went from making it personal experience to a shared experience. So created the Ramadan calendar that has both written numbers and dates and also the tactile texture in it, in a flat surface calendar, not a stand calendar, because this is how we learned the hand reading gestures started. And we launched it this year as well. And we got feedback and ideas and insights for next year, because this is not meant to be a one-off. It's meant to be really an ongoing work and project that keeps involving everyone in the community in what matters to them.
Oftentimes, with different technologies, adaptations, tools, and techniques, blind people and those who are partially sighted who may use tactile elements, while it helps them individually to be more independent, it creates opportunities for collectivity within a larger community, right? To maybe feel the braille or feel the symbols and have conversations, right? It's not just about helping, supporting, with blind communities, but actually to expand ideas and conversations with everyone. So one project we're working on that we're really excited about right now, just to build on community, is with Tennessee Tourism. When it comes to image descriptions online, oftentimes those are very challenging if they are not incorporated optimally, so that an individual who uses a screen reader, as a case in point, might hear something that's just a simple or a bland description, or no description at all if there's no alt text associated with it. But we wanted to go beyond technology and showcase and connect with what's important for Tennessee tourism, and that's Tennessee songwriters. So connecting humanity and technology, we worked with Tennessee songwriters to be able to craft very evocative, sublime alt text image descriptions for our digital experiences so that people who are blind or partially sighted don't simply get information, but actually the images through the songwriters are able to transform into imagination. And that's something that we're really excited about to be able to launch this year.
Well, thank you so much, Basil Juma and Josh Loebner, for joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Let's get into some of your emails and messages then. We've had a voice message from Pete who wants to share some tips around technology resources with us.
Hi, Tech Talk team. Pete in Robin Hood County. Jackie wanted some helpful sites to add to her list. Well, let's start with Unmute Presents, UNMUTE Presents. They do a podcast. You get some daily, some weekly, some fortnightly. And they have tips on iOS, the Mac, of course. They have one about Braille. They have one about screen readers. They have one about the blind shell and other bits of equipment as well. They're very useful tips. They're quite short for the most part, but they're very interesting. That's Unmute Presents. There is also Mac Geek Gab. They have tips at the beginning, questions, mostly related to the Mac, Apple Mac, and some cool stuff found. So that's about an hour long. There is always iPhone Life if you're fed up with the other one. Send an email to iphonelife.com/tips. And once you're set up, you'll get a tip each day on what to do with your iPhone. And also they will offer you the chance to join Apple Insider to join some courses should you wish to do so. And a security letter each Friday, a roundup of the tips every week, and various other newsletters as well. They also do a podcast periodically called iPhone Life. So there's a few for you. If you want a quick tip, if you want to add Face ID to, say, your Messages app, double tap and hold the Messages app. When you see the context menu, swipe down to Face ID, double tap, and you've got Face ID. If you have no vision at all or limited vision like me, I was taught to do it as follows. Put your nose in the middle of the screen and then move the phone out to arm's length. That's job done. It worked for me. So I hope that helps also. Thanks for all the interesting content to date. From Pete in Robin Hood County, bye for now.
Thanks for that, Pete. Obviously, Jackie couldn't be with us this week, but we will definitely pass that on and hopefully she can include it in the resources that she's putting together. Some great shouts there. So, yeah, thanks very much for that. We've also had an email from Andy who says, "Dear Tech Talk team, since the look and tell feature of the Meta Ray-Bans landed, I've been playing around with it and wanted to share some tips." He says, "I've noticed for commands, precision seems to be key. So, look and tell me what you see works well for a brief description. However, look and tell me what you see in great detail offers more depth." He says he's even had success with "look and tell me if there are any obstacles" in front of me while walking, which is something that I've not tried. That's very interesting. Have you tried that, Hubert, on yours?
Not that part in particular. I've only had the look and tell feature for a few days, so I'm still experimenting with that. But that is quite interesting. I think I might try that on one of my walks and see kind of what it says, because especially when I'd be, it'd be interesting to see how it describes obstacles, as for example, roadworks and such. I mean, as I always state, it would only be a guideline and an aid rather than anything definitive. But it'd be interesting to see how much it can help you in collaboration with kind of your mobility aid and mobility skills.
Yeah, it's probably worth saying as well. I mean, I'm sure you know this, Andy, obviously, if you've been using it, but just for others' benefit. If you say, for example, look and tell me if there's anything in front of me, it's only going to be a snapshot of that point, that particular time when you give the command. It's not going to keep, watching out and, suddenly shout out, oh, it's, if it says, yeah, you're clear, it's not then going to keep watching for obstacles. So you're just asking it at that moment in time. Not to say that it couldn't do that. There is a live AI features in beta in the US, which I think can do similar sort of features, but that's not there yet. But still interesting. I'll definitely try that out next time I'm out. Carrying on with Andy's email, he says regarding the OCR capabilities, look and read usually gives a summary, but look and read everything from top to bottom gives a better and more detailed readout. So again, it's interesting. It's just all about the prompting with these things, isn't it? Just being so careful with those words.
Yeah, as you've heard from the demo there, I think the key with these things is about being clear what you want and how much you want to get. And I've tried some of these commands actually. Shame I did it after I recorded the demo, but I've tried some of the commands Andy suggested, and they very much work a treat. They do, because I've tried it with an image description, and it does give you so much more detail if you use that. Look and tell me what you see in great detail. And same with text with leaflets, it does actually work. So if you are precise about what you want and how much you want, you will get so much better results. Because at the end of the thing, AI doesn't know exactly what you want to get, so it will give you, a brief summary. But if you are clear and state clear what you want and how much of that you want to receive, it will be so much better experience. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't guarantee 100% accuracy, but if you can be as clear and as precise as to what you want, you give yourself a better chance of actually getting the right result.
A final point from Andy here. He says, also, I've had no connectivity issues with my Samsung Z Flip 4, unlike reports I've heard from others. This seamless experience may be due to the Android operating system, though I'm not certain. Yeah, I think you could be right there. I feel like in some ways, Android does lend itself a bit better to devices like this, which are, they're not controlling your phone as such, but they're sort of controlling certain apps. For example, controlling WhatsApp or controlling Be My Eyes. So, yeah, maybe. But still, I'm glad to hear it's working well for you. And thanks very much for getting in touch. Some really useful tips there. I'm looking forward to giving those a go. If you want to get in touch with either an email or a voice note, like Pete has done, techtalk@rnib.org.uk is the email address that you need. A product that I purchased a few months ago and I've been really enjoying using is Leesy. So if you're not familiar with this, Leesy is an app that works with JAWS. So you've got to have JAWS in order to be able to use it. And it gives you various different tools to just make your life a bit easier and more productive, really. These can be little things like keyboard shortcuts and JAWS scripts for various apps to make those easier to use, such as Outlook and WhatsApp are a couple of key ones that I use all the time, which have got Leesy functionalities. And they've also got kind of standalone apps that are part of Leesy. So, for example, there is a weather app that you can use to get the latest weather forecast. There's a search app which does various things. Gives you a really nice accessible interface for various search engines such as Google and DuckDuckGo and a few others. There's an interface for tracking parcels, for tracking deliveries. There's a clock app which makes it really easy to start and stop alarms and timers and use a stopwatch, as well as getting the time and date, obviously. There's conversion apps for converting from things like time zones. If you want to find out the time in a particular time zone, you can do that from there. There's a feature called texts and abbreviations, which I really like. Say you've got a block of text that you regularly have to type in. It could be something quite short, like your email address, or it could be something quite long, like a signature, so your name, your job title, your phone number, your work address. Could be loads of different details. You could type that in and then assign it to a shortcut. So then all you have to do in future is type a couple of letters and press a command, and then that block of text will be inserted in to wherever you're typing. I really like that one. There's loads of different things that it offers. Far too many to go through here. But Leesy version 10 was recently released, and the big highlight in this update is an integration to ChatGPT. I think we're all pretty familiar with ChatGPT at this point. You can type to it in natural language and get really good, detailed, natural responses, all that kind of stuff. And what they've done with Leesy is they've made that a really nice, fully accessible interface. There's various different options for how you can get your responses formatted and presented to you, which I'll go through in a bit. But they've also added in some predefined prompts, I guess, for working with text. So there's prompts on there for proofreading, using a dictionary to get word definitions, using a thesaurus. There's an audio transcription option in there. So if you've got an audio file and you want it transcribed into text, it can do that. You can translate files as well. If you've got an audio file that's in a different language and you want it translated into English, it can do that as well. Again, many, many different options. Again, there's too many to cover in this demo. We could do the whole hour just on the ChatGPT and Leesy functionalities that they've added. But I'm just going to go over a few of these that I've been using and how I've got them to work for me. So in order to get this set up, there's three main things that you need. One is JAWS, obviously. The second is Leesy, again, obvious. They're both separate products, so you'd have to purchase them separately if you don't already have them. And then the third thing you'll need is an OpenAI API key. And this is what you will enter into Leesy in order for it to communicate to ChatGPT. So very briefly, and I'll tell you in a minute why I'm just summarizing this rather than showing you. The way you would get this is you would go to the OpenAI website and log in there with the same details that you use for ChatGPT if you've already got an account with them. So you would log into the OpenAI website, go to the billing section and put in your payment details and put some credit on your account. The minimum you can put on is $5. Once you've done that, you can then generate your API key and put that into the Leesy setup process. And once you've done that, any requests that you make to ChatGPT via Leesy will go off your account balance. And I don't have exact figures for the cost of these requests, but it's a very small amount. It varies depending on how long the request is that you send to it and therefore how long the response back is and how many characters. But it's a couple of pence per request, if that, to be honest. I've been using this for a few weeks now, on and off, and I've still not even used up a dollar of that $5 balance yet. And you can put more on there if you want as well, but the minimum you can do is $5, and that really will go a long way, to be honest. So the reason that I'm just telling you that, rather than showing you how to get set up like I normally would, two main reasons. One is this is all done via the OpenAI website, so that the exact instructions could change because it's changing all the time. But two, if you're finding it a bit challenging to set up or you don't want to pay for it, then Hartgen Consultancy, who develop Leesy, can provide you an API key for free. So if you get in contact with them and give them your name and your JAWS serial number, they can sort you out an API key if you struggle to do it yourself or if you don't want to do it yourself. So there's a couple of things to bear in mind when you're using theirs, if you get an API key from them. The first one is that it can only be used with Leesy, Whereas if you purchase your own API key, then it could be used with any other ChatGPT services or scripts that you might have that use the API. And the second one is there are usage limits. But to be honest, if you're an average user, if you're using this properly and sensibly, you won't even notice those limits. They would only kick in if you started, you know, sending off thousands of queries per day and making automated requests with it, or, you know, something like that. But if you're an average user, you won't even notice the limitations, to be honest. You'll be absolutely fine. I've already done the setup and mine is ready to go. So I'm just going to first take you into the ChatGPT menu, and I'll talk you through all these options as we go. In order to access this, you first have to press what's known as the chat key, which is control and the grave accent key held down together. So if you're a Lisi user already, you'll already be familiar with the Lisi key, which is just the grave accent key. In the case of ChatGPT, you add the control key to it. So the way this works, it's fairly similar if you're not familiar with it. It's fairly similar to the JAWS layered commands, where you would press, for example, your JAWS key in space, and then another command from then. So, for example, JAWS key plus space, and then F to get to face in view, and then O to turn it on. It's a little bit like that with Lisi. So you press the chat key, that gets you into that layer, and then you press these different commands. And the grave accent key on most keyboards is on the very left of the number row. So where you've got your letters, and then you've got the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc., going across the top, it's on the very left of that, just above the tab key. So in order to get into the menu, I'm going to press the chat key followed by the letter M for menu, and then we'll have a scroll through these, and I'll talk you through what they do. And then in a minute, once we've done that, we'll get into some demos of how you can actually use this. So I'm going to press chat key and then M.
ChatGPT menu dialog, list 1, list view, new prompt, chat key, then N, 1 of 18.
So you get the option and then you get the shortcut as well, so chat key and then N for a new prompt. And this is just basically to send a message to ChatGPT.
Clear conversation, chat key, then C.
If you've got ChatGPT in the context aware mode, which I'll come to in a minute, this is how you can clear the conversation.
Save conversation, chat key, then S.
You can save conversations to refer back to later.
Load conversation, chat key, then L.
That will load the conversation up and give you a summary of it.
View session displayed in the results viewer, chat key, then V.
You can view the session, so you can view all the prompts that you've sent and the responses that you've had.
Delete session displayed in the results viewer, chat key, then D.
That's another way to delete your session, obviously.
Tools for working with text, chat key, then T.
There's various tools, as I said before, for working with text, which we'll come back to, because they are fantastic.
Create an image based upon the text description. You should be as detailed as possible.
So you can create an image, as it says, based on a text description. So you could, this isn't something that I've used, but you could put in a description of the image that you want. ChatGPT will then go off and create that image. And you can even tell it what you want it to name the file, and it will name that file for you, and then you can download that image.
Transcribe audio from an MP3 file to text with speaker separation. Transcribe audio from an MP3 file to text without speaker separation.
So as I said before, you can transcribe audio, and you can have it with or without speaker separation. So if you're transcribing a podcast or an audio from a YouTube video or something, and there's several people speaking, you can choose there whether you want it to do its best to separate those different speakers and label them. Little caveat with that, they do say in the documentation that if there's music within the audio as well, then the speaker separation feature doesn't work too well, but it's there if you want to try it.
Transcribe audio file from another language to English. The file must be less than 25 MB. Extract text and ask about a PDF or Microsoft Word document. Enable context-aware mode. Disable context-aware mode.
So these two options, context-aware mode, you can enable or disable it. So what does that mean? Well, if we had context-aware mode enabled and we asked a question such as, what is RNIB Tech Talk? We would then get a response, hopefully, with all the details about the Tech Talk podcast. And then we could go away and do something else, do some work, and then come back to that. So we do chat key and then N. And then we could just type who presents it. And because it's context aware, it knows that the last thing we asked about was RNIB Tech Talk. So it would go off and find who presents RNIB Tech Talk. If you've not got context aware mode turned on, then every time you send a message to it, you're having a completely separate conversation. So in that example, if we were to say, what is RNIB Tech Talk? And then ask another question to say, who presents it? The second time, it wouldn't know what we were on about. It wouldn't know what we meant by that. It would just take that as a whole new, you know, whole new request rather than following it up. So that's what context aware mode is.
Enter ChatGPT API key.
That's where you can put in your API key. I've already done that.
The results viewer will be used for a full HTML experience. The virtual viewer will be used for a plain text view.
You can have an HTML view or a plain text view. So the HTML view is quite good for if you want results to be formatted a bit better, because that can use things like headings, ordered lists or bulleted lists, tables. And the main advantage of the HTML view is that you can also view the sources. So when ChatGPT comes back with a response, you can view the links to the sources of where it's got that information from and click on those links, bring them up and double check them if you want to. The plain text view will, well, as it implies, it's plain text. So it will just give you the response in plain text with a few options, which we might come to if we've got time.
Plain text settings.
So a couple of settings there for the plain text view. I'm not going to go over those just yet, again, because this will get too long otherwise. So there are all the options that you've got in the ChatGPT menu. And there's even more options when we go into the tools for working with text. So that's the options. How does it actually work? So let's have a look at it. Let's do some basic ChatGPT questions. So first off, I'm going to enable the context aware mode just so you can see how that works. So you can use first letter navigation in this menu as well. So I'm just going to press E.
Extract text and ask about enable context aware mode.
So I had to press E twice because the first option was the extract one. So I'm now going to press enter on that.
Folder view list view recycle bin 1 of 13. ChatGPT will be aware of context so you can ask follow dash up questions. Every time you press the chat key followed by N, you are adding to the existing conversation. To start a new conversation, press the chat key then C for clear.
And it explains all you need to know there. So I'm going to press the chat key and then N.
New conversation. Ask ChatGPT dialogue. Type what you would like to ask ChatGPT then press enter. Type what you would like to ask ChatGPT then press enter. Edit.
So it said new conversation, and then it says type what we want to ask. So I'm just going to say, tell me
about
the iPhone
16E. Folder, please wait.
And I've pressed enter, and now we've just got to wait for a response. I'm not going to edit the response time, just so you can see how quick it works.
The iPhone 16e, introduced by Apple on February 19, 2025, serves as a more affordable alternative within the iPhone 16 lineup, replacing the previous iPhone SEC or blank design and display. Blank, the iPhone 16e features a 6.1-inch OLED display with a notch similar to the iPhone 14, rather than the dynamic island found in the iPhone 16.
So, it's brought up details about the iPhone 16e. Now, I'm in the HTML view, so if I navigate by links, I should be able to see the sources that ChatGPT has used.
Linkloss40.com right parent offers a maximum brightness of 800 nits and a peak HDR brightness of 1200 nits. The device is available in two colors, colon white and black. Left parent. Linkloss40.com right parent.
So there you go. I did get a response. I started the response mid-sentence there, but you could see there that it's given us some information and then in brackets it's put a link. So we could go off and double check that link if we think, are you sure? Is that definitely right? Because of course AI does make mistakes, so we could double check that if we wanted to. I don't know how much it's formatted this, but it does sometimes come back with, as I said before, headings and tables and things like that. So that's why I quite like the HTML view when I'm just having normal conversations with it. So we'll escape out of this.
Escape. Desktop. Folder view list view recycle bin 1 of 3.
And I'm back to where I was, which was my desktop. Now, as I said, we're in context aware mode here. So I'm going to do chat key and then N.
Ongoing conversation. Ask ChatGPT dial.
Now, you noticed it said ongoing conversation, which means that we've got some history already there with what we've been asking it. So if I put now, what's the price in the UK?
What's the price in the UK question?
I've not made any reference to the iPhone 16e because I don't need to. I'm just going to say, what's the price in the UK? Press enter.
Folder, please wait.
And we'll wait for that response to come back. It should know what we're talking about.
In the United Kingdom, the iPhone 16e is available in 3 storage capacities, each priced as follows, colon. Blank list of 3 items.
And here we go, we've got a nice list.
Bullet 128GB, colon, £599. Bullet 256GB, colon, £699. Bullet 512GB, colon.
So you get the idea. And it's formatted them in a list. And underneath this, there will be links, I'm sure, to where it's got that pricing information from. So that's briefly how it works. I mean, we've seen this before, talking to ChatGPT and it knowing what we're on about. But I think the difference here is the interface, because you're not dealing with an app. You're not dealing with a web browser. It's just bringing it up in a nice, you've got a text box for your prompt. It tells you to wait. You get those little clicks while it does what it needs to do and then brings it up in a nice little virtual viewer format. So it's just really nice. If we are finished with that conversation and we wanted to talk about something else, we would do chat key and then C.
Conversation cleared. Press the chat key, then letter enter, begin a new conversation.
So that's something to bear in mind. If you have got context aware mode turned on, once you want to start a new topic, you've got to clear the conversation. Otherwise, it's not the end of the world, but it could just get a bit confusing because it thinks you're on about one thing and then you start talking about something else. It can throw it a little bit. So we've seen this before. Where this becomes really powerful, in my opinion, is the tools for working with text. So I've got a Word document open here where I've just typed in some text and I've deliberately made a real mess of it just to show you how this works. So if I do a speak current line, just so you can hear what's in here.
Hello, misspelled, tis is a misspelled, quick misspelled, test of using the misspelled chat proofreading tools and misspelled Lisi.
So the word Lisi is actually not misspelled. It is spelled correctly, but obviously Word doesn't recognize it because it's a product name. But other than that, I've deliberately made a mess of this. So I've done hello is just one L. This is spelled T-I-H-S. Because that's something that I do all the time. I'm typing too quick and I get my letters mixed up. Quick, I've missed off the K at the end. So there's all kinds of spelling errors here. You could hear that it was saying misspelt all over the place. Now, I'm in Word, so I could go through I could press F7 and go through the Word spell checker and get each misspelt word and review the suggestions and change them that way. Or I can use the ChatGPT method and just get my corrected text back pretty much straight away. So something that I'm going to do first, and you don't have to do this, but I'm going to disable the HTML view. I'm going to switch to the plain text view. And the reason for that is I found that when you use the proofreading text tools, if you're in the HTML view, you'll get a bit of, you'll get kind of a start and end coming back. So it will say like, here's your text with the required changes. And then you'll have your text there. And then underneath, it will give you a summary of what's changed, which you might like. But if you go on the plain text view, you will just get back your corrected text with no fluff, basically. You'll just get your text back. And I prefer that. So first things first, I'm going to go into the menu.
ChatGPT menu dial.
And I just did chat key and M to get to that. And I'm going to scroll down until I find the option for using the plain text view.
The virtual viewer will be used for a plain text view.
That's what I want, so press enter on that.
The results will be returned in plain text, edit.
And now, I'm going to do Control A to select this entire document.
Hello, comma, misspelled, tis is a misspelled, quick misspelled, test of using the misspelled chat.
So that's selected. I'm now going to do chat key and T for tools. Because you might remember we had the option of tools for working with text.
List of ChatGPT tools for working with text dialog. List 1, list view, spell check the text using UK English, correcting capitalization where necessary, 1 of 20.
And as you can hear, there's 20 options in here. So again, I'm not going to go through all of these. You see what I mean about we could be here forever. But this first option is to spell check the text using UK English, changing, correcting capitalization where necessary. And that's the one that I want. So I'm going to press enter.
Text to process dialog. Please type or amend the text in the edit field, then press enter. Please type or amend the text in the edit field, then press enter edit. Hello, this is a quick test of using the chat proofreading tools in Leesy.
Now we could have typed that in manually if we wanted to. You don't have to select text first, but if you do, it will grab the selected text. So I did Control A first. So it's automatically grabbed that text that I selected and put it in the edit field. And that's good. That's what we want. So that's in there. I'm going to press enter.
Please wait.
And we'll wait for it to come back.
Ready, edit.
Now it says ready. And we should, if I arrow down, we should have this text corrected.
Hello, this is a quick test of using the ChatGPT proofreading tools in Leesy.
That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? And now, even though this is the plain text view, we have got a few options what we can do here. So we could select that and, you know, copy it. Or if we go down,
link exit this screen and insert any text with this response. Selected text will be replaced.
Now, because we've done, you want to be careful with this one, because we did Control A to select the entire document, we could click on this and it would insert that text, but it would also replace the text that was there previously.
Link open this response in Microsoft Word.
We could open it in a separate Word document.
Link open this response in Notepad.
Bring it up in Notepad.
Link open this response using your default text editor.
Bring up in the default text editor, which I think in my case is Notepad.
Link copy this response to the clipboard. Link append this response to the clipboard. Blank. Press escape to close this window.
And then those two options were either copying it to the clipboard or appending it to the clipboard. So if you've got text already copied and you wanted it to, you wanted this corrected text to be added to it, then you could do that. Now, obviously I've got the entire document selected and that was the whole text that I wanted to correct. And we've got the corrected version just above, and that's fine. So I'm going to just click straight on to the insert this text or whatever it was.
Hello, this is a link X, link open, link exit this screen and insert any text with this response. Selected text will be replaced.
Press enter on that.
Ready.
And now, if we have another listen to our Word document.
Hello, this is a quick test of using the ChatGPT proofreading tools in Leesy.
Beautiful. And I'm checking this on, I didn't want to go through character by character, but I'm checking this on my Braille display as well, and it has corrected it. So this, I think, is my favourite feature, this proofreading of text. And obviously, you do have to use some common sense. You have to double check it. It is still AI. But I'm just finding this so much easier than going through those spell checkers in Word or Outlook. And it doesn't have to be in those two apps. You can do this from absolutely anywhere. You can do this from anywhere in the on the system. Some more of those tools for working with text, the one where there's 20 options. They include, as I said before, dictionary, thesaurus, proofreading, as you saw there. You can get it to summarize the text in different ways. So you can have it turn it into a summarized email. You could have it turned into a speech. So where the sentences are more appropriate for being delivered, you know, verbally. If you've got a bunch of notes, you could have them turned into a list of actions. There's all sorts you can do, and it's all stuff that you can do natively within ChatGPT, but they've put it in this really nice interface and done a fantastic job with getting the prompts as well and getting that prompting spot on. But that is a brief overview of some of the ChatGPT features or the AI features within Leesy version 10. I've been loving this. I'm finding it really useful. And it's just been a fantastic help for me. That's all we've got time for this week. But before we go, we're joined by Dave Williams, who has got a bit of an announcement for us.
Hello, everybody. After 6 years at RNIB and 3 years hosting Tech Talk, I've come to the end of my RNIB journey. It's time for me to step away just now. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all for some incredible memories over the last 3 years of Tech Talk, especially. It's been one of the highlights of my week, particularly interviewing some of those incredible blind people who are making our world a better place. I will, of course, continue to promote the potential of blind and partially sighted people through technology and braille and tactile literacy, of course. I'm definitely not leaving the planet. I want to offer my sincere thanks to everybody in the Connect Radio team, our producer Hal Davies and station manager Yvonne Milne. I want to thank everybody who has contributed to Tech Talk during our tenure, all those guests who've answered all my questions, thank you, and most of all, of course, the listeners, because it is you that make Tech Talk worthwhile. I want to wish you all the very best. Stay tuned. I know I will be, but from myself, Dave Williams, bye for now.
Cheers, Dave. Definitely going to be missed on this show. And yeah, as you said, keep in touch. You know, don't
be a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't. All right. Well, that's all from us. If you want to get in contact with us, you know how to do it by now. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Voice messages or just good old-fashioned written emails are always welcome. But from me, Callum Stoneman and Hubert Bogovic, bye for now.
See you next week.